a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Texans advance with a 32-12 victory over the Chargers. The four seed is moving on in the NFL playoffs.
I'm going to need a little more energy than that. Texas Swarm!
Yeah!
The crowd didn't show up on time. Didn't matter. The offense didn't show up on time. Didn't matter. Because 3:30 on Saturdays, wild card weekend, that is our time. In fact, it is football time in Houston, baby! 32-12. The Texans are on to Kansas City next weekend. And Joe, I got to say, I've never once doubted this team.
Never.
Not once in my life have I ever doubted these Houston Texans. But as somebody who went to NRG Stadium and was in the press box, you were there in attendance. From where this game started to where this game ended, I don't know how you can't walk away from that game feeling, at least for now, extremely happy.
If you would have told me, like, when there was, when it was 10 minutes and, like, 52 seconds of time of possession to a minute and 53 seconds of time in possession that the Texans were going to win that game by multiple scores, I would have called you an idiot. I mean, the fact that the Chargers had two full drives and the Texans had four plays. They were not moving the ball. It started off terribly. One of the worst interceptions of the game, of the season, from C.J. Stroud. And it didn't matter because the defense was incredible.
We've said this before. I don't know about the offense, but this defense is championship level. They have frustrated some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Josh Allen, Jared Goff, to a lesser extent, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love. But what they did to Justin Herbert, media darling, on Saturday was take the guy who had set a record for the fewest interceptions in a season and picked him off more than he had been picked off in an entire slate of games. The pass rush was in his face constantly. I think they ultimately rattled him, whether it was Will Anderson, the nicest Terminator ever, Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, Foley Fatukasi, among many other players who contributed in this game. Derek Stingley Jr., two interceptions. Kamari Lassiter, an interception, and a perfect defensive passer rating. 0.0 when thrown against. Top to bottom, this is one of the most impressive efforts I've seen this Texans team ever do defensively. Now it's a matter of figuring out how to do it next week, but D'Amico Ryans, a tip of the hat. Yes, this team has issues cleaning up the little things, but they are so bought in on the defensive side of the football. And they're going to have to find a way to do this again because that's the formula for the first ever AFC Championship game appearance. Do that again. That's a lot. That's asking a whole lot. But, man, that was so impressive on Saturday.
No, it is. And like very clearly, like what happened on Christmas Day was sitting with us last week. And I think when you look back at the shows last week, the discussion around the Texans, I think it was all fairly deserved. But when you look at what they did Sunday, it's what you're saying. I mean, whether it's Jordan Love or Jared Goff, like they've been great against pretty much any quarterback they've faced this year,
except Lamar Jackson
and Sam Darnold. They've been excellent. And in this game, I mean, look, you've got arguably the best left tackle right tackle combo for probably the next decade in the NFL in the Chargers.
Whoa,
I mean, Rashawn Slater is already one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Joe Alt, their first-round pick out of Notre Dame, the right tackle now. He's a total stud as well. And the Texans were able to get pressure all day because it wasn't just Will Anderson. I mean, we saw Mario Edwards play his best game of the season in forever. Like, he was incredible. Autry, they were getting it from everyone on the defensive line. And that's what this offseason, when they brought in Danielle Hunter and Danico Autry, and they brought back Mario Edwards, and this is the group they run with. This is what you envisioned. This is what the plan was to get after a quarterback, to have multiple guys doing it, and then it forced him to make terrible throws, and your cornerbacks are incredible.
The defensive line is so deep that fan favorite Tim Settle, completely empty on the stat sheet, didn't matter because of all the guys who contributed. Walking into the Texans locker room after the win, I smelled something very familiar. It smelled like Las Vegas. Cigars lit everywhere, and there was Foley Fatu Kasi to my right as I walked in. Give me a high five. I was like, hell yeah, I'll take a high five. You're smoking a cigar. I'm pumped. Just forget about the whole I think you guys are dead men walking thing that I might have said last week. May or may not. I can't remember. I can't recall. But the defense is what won them this game. We'll talk about the offense. We'll talk about C.J. Stroud. But here's D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, after the game, just talking about the degree to which the Texans defense dominated.
Our defense, they dominated today. And that's what we, that's who we want to be. They played our brand of football. Like, talk about stopping the run first. That's what I'm most proud of, is how we stop the run. And we stop the run, you make teams one-dimensional, and that's when our D-line just caused havoc. So very proud of our defensive line, but more so proud of our DBs, like Stingley, and he's been outstanding all year. He steps up again for us this today, gets two picks. When we needed him most, he made, you know, outstanding plays. E. Murray with the touchdown. Kamari with the – man, for us to have – off of the turnover, Kamari goes out, and you talk about a momentum shift. For him to pick the ball off, that was outstanding play by him. So just the way our DBs are playing, it just opens up a lot for us defensively. Really proud of our entire group.
He should be. And he should be proud of himself. That was a hell of a defensive game plan against Justin Herbert. Ladd McConkey, his one catch of 86 yards for a touchdown, where Kalen Bullock got a little bit greedy, was looking for an interception. That's the lone gaffe. They held their own early on in this game when, first off, the first drive of the game, Chargers actually looked like they had something. But to what D'Amico was saying, eventually they slowed the ground game down. 2.8 yards a carry for the Chargers in this one. John Metchie fumbles the one play the Texans ran offensively.
Yeah.
And the Texans, once again, held up their end of the bargain defensively in the red zone. It's 6-0. It could have been 14-0. That game could have gotten completely out of hand, but the defense stood strong. And then the rest of the way, I mean, they just throttled the Chargers. It was abuse.
Yeah, it was straight up ass kicking. And a guy who's not on the stat sheet a ton, but became the most important player for part of this game, was Miles Bryant. I mean, he's the guy in the nickel spot against Ladd McConkey most of this game without Jalen Petrie and Jimmy Ward on the team. I mean, And yeah, he had that big play. And
I mean, McConkey had 200 yards receiving. I'm not going to go credit Miles.
He was a stud, but like honestly, like, it could have been worse. I mean, that's really the only guy that Herbert.
I don't know.
I think because it's the only guy Herbert could throw to. I mean, Quentin Johnston, like the stop that they had, the drop he had where it seemed like he got hurt.
That guy sucks. Yeah,
that was a brutal drop.
He's a terrible player. I saw he had that like big game the week before. I think he had his like career best game. Skip Bayless is online like pleading with him, like, hey, you have to have confidence in yourself, Quentin Johnston. That guy sucks. He sucks.
That was the MO coming out of college, that he had the drops. He's at TCU, so, and it seems to have gotten worse in the NFL.
He's the only guy that I'm like, you know what? Maybe Justin Herbert does need more help. Just anyone other than Quentin Johnston.
Will Dissly, too. I mean, Will Dissly had that drop that was picked off by Eric Murray, returned for a touchdown. So, I mean, like, Herbert needs some help. Herbert a little bit overrated. Yeah. I like Herbert
Both
as a quarterback.
Both things can be true.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, they swarmed.
All game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm swarming all over right now.
I mean, both these playoff games that the Texans have won at NRG Stadium at Saturday at 3:30, like, once it got going for the Texans, it followed almost the exact same script as the Browns game from last year.
And that's what drives me crazy. I've been waiting for this all year. Now I finally see it. I knew they could do this all along. I feel like a teacher in a movie where I'm teaching a bunch of kids that I know have potential, but they just can't quite reach it. And now I'm at the end. I'm in the background, like at the end of Rudy, you know, the groundskeeper. Yeah. I'm slowly clapping because I knew they could do this all along. They finally did it. About effing time. Now you got to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we've all been critical of them the entire season, because based off the Browns' performance last year, we expected more of this. I mean, to have – this has been – like these two defensive playoff performances for D'Amico, it's they're straight-up masterclasses. I mean, the Browns – and the offense too. Like, I mean, I know we'll get to them, but like – You're playing a Browns defense last year, who's number one in the NFL. You're playing a Chargers defense this year, who's top 10 in the NFL. And you're putting up points. Like, it's not just your defense. You're getting a lot of help from them. But the defensive game plan was really perfect. It was, Ladd McConkey can beat us, but you're not going to win this game if only one guy has success. It's like when you play an NBA superstar and you just let him go off. Like, the rest of the team has to score points too. They didn't let it happen.
Or just be a bad teammate.
Yeah,
who'd yeah be my player. Is that, you're talking my player, right?
No, like in real life. Like if you're playing like Giannis, you're going to let Giannis go for 40, but if you stop everyone else on the Bucks, like, you're still going to win the game.
Don't let Jokic pass, basically. Yeah, gotcha. And they had the Jokic game plan for Ladd McConkey, where it's like, McConkey, you get all you want. No one else gets
it. Yeah, no one else gets anything. But they were, it's the best they've looked all year, and even they've had great games against like Buffalo. It was a nearly perfect game, honestly, for the defense.
Really was close to it. You know, the first drive of the game, the Chargers did have some success running the football, but after that, short field, right after that, they stuffed them. They had a fourth down stop, four interceptions, four sacks, countless quarterback pressures, tons of QB hits as well. C.J. Stroud credited the defense after the game. Here's the quarterback of your Houston Texans.
It's not fun when, you know, you have two early turnovers and punting the ball, getting three and outs. But it's all about, you know, chopping wood, carrying water. And that's one thing that I love about our team is that we always, no matter if defense is up or offense is up, you know, everybody's always watching and everybody's always into it. And I just think that's a recipe for success. So, you know, while we were kind of down, I remember Will coming up to me and Aziz and then just uplifting me, telling me, like, bro, you got it, you know. So that helps, you know. And for them to not just be like, dang, man, like, we kicking the stars. What the offense doing? Like, it wasn't that, you know. It was just really like, man, we trusting y'all. Y'all going to get it going, but we're going to hold up until y'all get rolling. So, you know, I think that's amazing. And, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, it's cliche, but it's the truth.
Couple cliches along the way.
Honestly, I don't know the last time I've heard chopping wood, carrying water.
Talk about chopping wood and carrying water all the time. But, I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
Never done either of those things. I've never carried water. I don't live in a third world country, and I've never chopped wood either. I don't live in a forest.
I've chopped wood before.
Oh.
Not a lot of it, but a little bit.
How much wood did you chop?
Enough for like one bonfire, and that was like the only time ever.
Okay. You split the axe in the middle? Or split the wood in the middle?
Definitely not.
Off of stump?
It was an ugly process.
You have a flannel shirt on?
Probably. It was when I was living in Illinois, so.
Okay.
There used to be like a lot more in my wardrobe back then.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Look, impressive defensive performance, but let's focus on the offense in the next segment. They eventually got going. Is this a sign that C.J. Stroud from last year is back? You can answer that at 713-780-3776. To call, to text, you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, before Saturday, when TikTok is banned, one thing I learned on TikTok over the weekend is that last Friday, you know what they call it? Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day is when people give up on their New Year's resolutions. You don't need to do that. 2025 is here. Get to the gym. Whatever you want to do. Lose weight, build muscle mass, whatever your goals are for 2025, O-Athletic is the place to do it. You can do it at O-Athletic, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, oathletic.com, O-Athletic on Instagram. On their website, you can see the over 100 classes they offer per week. If you want to sign up for a personal trainer, you can find that super easily. They will help work on your schedule, around your schedule, to make it easy for you. So start working on your goals now for 2025. At O-Athletic.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back with Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
They've been limited to 87 yards of offense. Oh, the ball is free! Scooped up by Stroud. Circles, throws, complete! On a busted play! Hutchinson! Just like they drew it up!
And that, my friends, is how C.J. Stroud got his mojo back.
You think that's the moment?
That play right there, Joe. That play right there started a 99-yard touchdown drive that gave the Texans a 7-6 lead
they never looked back as they took down the Los Angeles Chargers on Saturday, 32-12 at NRG Stadium. That play right there, because I felt like CJ was in his own head before that moment. He had a terrible throw on third down that should have been intercepted the first drive, second drive of the game. After on the first drive, he throws it to John Metchie, his buddy, and Metchie fumbles it immediately. You had to think that the Texans, from a confidence perspective offensively in the first half, were at rock bottom, and then all of a sudden, they are standing essentially in their own end zone, looking to go 99 yards. At that point, you're hoping, okay, touchdown? No. Field goal? No. Can we set up a easy Tommy Townsend punt?
Yeah, can you flip the field?
There was a moment, Joe, before that drive began. Tommy Townsend, I guess, does this before every single series. Tommy Townsend went out into the end zone and was warming up. I thought the Texans were going to punt on first down. I really thought that. I actually looked over to Adam Clanton, who was sitting to my left, and I was like, are they about to punt? What's going on? And then Townsend goes back to the sideline. Okay, they're actually going to try and move the football. And, I mean, that play, you're in a third and long, and on top of that, you drop the snap. You have to corral it. There are very few quarterbacks who would have the balls to actually do something with that. Some quarterbacks are going to turtle. Others are going to throw it away. And I don't know why, in that moment right there, C.J. Stroud, who said afterwards that he was pissed off about the play, I don't know why he decided, right here, right now, I'm going to be the C.J. Stroud that everyone remembers from last year. But he did. He throws it to Xavier Hutchinson. And I felt like he was a completely different guy after that moment.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that was like the first step to CJ being back. I think the other one, the 27-yard run, the next drive.
Next drive, right.
Was that, that just felt like it's like the everything like going into the draft, the Georgia game that like people loved about him was the running in that game that he really showed for the first time. And like the body language after the run, it just felt like, okay, like this is like he's all the way back. Like there was no regression after that first drive, that drive with the broken play. Yeah, this is everything we've been waiting for CJ to have, to just let it rip. And it was a totally different offense from the moment he dropped that snap and connected to Hutchinson.
Yeah,
he just it's like they woke up, everything changed, and just whatever had been going wrong, it's like something just like it clicked in that moment for at least one game that the offense was fixed.
Here is C.J. Stroud talking about that play from yesterday, or excuse me, from Saturday, where, ball bounces off his hands and he's got to make something happen.
Even after I made the play, I was kind of mad at myself. For my eyes, like, I didn't look at the snap, so it just went straight through my hands. And so I'm looking, I'm trying to see the defense, and it went through my hands, and luckily it bounced right back up to me. And, you know, I tried to just save the play. Hutch did a good job. I trusted me, and, you know, I trust him, so he kept on the move, and, you know, that when we made the completion, I looked at the sideline, everybody was turned up, so that turned me up because I was still kind of mad at myself.
So maybe he was just so pissed off in the moment that he said, F it, I'm going to throw it to Xavier Hutchinson, I'm going to throw it to somebody, and hopefully something good happens. Because it can't get any worse for the offense with the way that things had started that game.
No, because the interception he threw like two drives before that, the drive before that, I guess, was a disaster. I don't even know what he was throwing to.
Me neither. And, I mean, there's a couple moments in this game where the erratic, weird inaccuracy, it's still there. He throws the most careless throwaways ever. Sometimes they're almost intercepted. He was very lucky that Derwin James interception was overturned. Mm-hmm. But he played with a different confidence from that point on. And they were dead men walking offensively up until that play where he makes things happen. I saw someone on the text line saying, when are you guys going to apologize for saying they're dead men walking? I'm not. They were. They ruined Christmas. But they did make up for it. They are now back.
Apologize.
I'm not apologizing for that. I mean,
which is saying you're welcome.
Exactly.
We are the motivators. We are the bulletin board material for the Houston Texans. Apologize.
There's probably more Rex Ryan, but because they did let me into the locker room after the game, but they were dead men walking up to that moment, and then they weren't, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. D'Amico Ryans after the game said that this was C.J. Stroud to Xavier Hutchinson, the play of the game.
We started slow. We put the ball on the ground too many times, and we needed a play. And that's what it looks like when your best players step up and make the plays. That's what playoff football is about. That's what, you know, being a big-time player in the league is about. And, of course, you see the fumble snap, and I'm just thinking, like, please pick the ball up. And then we're able to, you know, to see CJ improvise and find Hutch, you know, keeping his eyes downfield, just having that confidence in himself and his ability to avoid the rush and still keep his eyes downfield and find Hutch. And that was an outstanding play. To me, that was the play of the game that really, you know, created momentum for our entire team.
He seemed more confident going forward, as some in the Twitch are pointing out. Definitely not a perfect game the rest of the way. I totally agree on that front. But the offense was better. And they got to figure out a way to keep whatever the hell happened from that point on going. Got to say, Bobby Slowick deserves credit.
100%. Because they started throwing the short stuff. They got the ball out way faster in this game. I know people early on, obviously the fumble does not help him. But when you look at just like the target share, both John Metchie and Nico Collins led the team in targets with 8. They clearly went in with the game plan in this game that they were going to get the ball out quickly, whether it's to Hutchinson or Stover, who had 4 catches, or Metchie, who had 8 targets. I mean, there was all the, I mean, Deontay Johnson only had 1 target, but the ball was being spread out. Like, they clearly went in with a different game plan as well in this game, and that's where Bobby Slowick does deserve a lot of credit. No, the offense isn't fixed totally. There are still a lot of issues with the offense. But if your offense can be closer to that and your defense is that good, you can win on Saturday. You can go back to your 3:30 time slot, and you can beat the Chiefs because your defense is that good that if you get that level of performance from the offense, yes, 2 touchdowns, you can win on Saturday.
It's going to be very hard for the defense to be that good just given they're going to be on the road. They're not going to be feeding off the crowd in the same way that they have been in the best games that they've had this year, where against Josh Allen, that's at NRG Stadium. Against Jared Goff, that's at NRG Stadium. Against Tua, that's at NRG Stadium. To a lesser degree, Jordan Love, that's in Lambeau. But I don't know if they're going to be able to keep that going. So offensively, they're going to have to just do what they were doing and hope that the defense makes enough plays for them to win, because I think that's how they win. It's not with CJ Stroud in the offense, because we know that they're going to go through moments where it's a complete drought out there. They have to figure out how to continue to score on defense. And I will give Bobby Slowick credit, though, for in this game taking the short stuff and then at the end of the game saying, we're going to give Joe Mixon the ball, and Joe Mixon just kept on making plays. There were, of course, a couple of what the hell, Bobby, moments. The player Mixon fumbled. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do on that
play. I think
it
was a halfback pass.
Okay.
The way he held the ball, like, to me, it looks like a halfback pass. I was in the bathroom at the time, and Andre Ware was just eviscerating Bobby Slowick in the moment for calling a halfback pass.
Yeah, that was where Bobby where Andre was at his most angry.
Yeah, so I definitely think it was it looked like a halfback pass. I'm sure at some point we'll get, when he talks to us later in the week, we'll find out for sure. Maybe DJ knows when he's in with us tomorrow. But like, yeah, there was a hell Bobby most. But to your point about the running game, the offensive line and Joe Mixon, the Chargers knew the Texans were going to run out the clock, and they moved the ball up and down the field at the end of the game, running the ball every single play. It was the best this version of the offensive line has looked, because they kept finding a way. And Joe Mixon did a lot of the work on his own, too. It was a very impressive drive from the offense that you desperately needed just to put the Chargers away.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Texans 32-12 victory over the Los Angeles Chargers to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs? You can. They'll play the Kansas City Chiefs Saturday. Guess what? At 3:30, you can get after us on Twitter at Galan Says, at Joe George Radio, Sean A. Mapes behind the glass, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Coming up next, were the doubters wrong? Including us. We'll discuss. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Chargers take over, 11:39 to go in this first half. Out of the pocket, Herbert dials it up across his body, and that one's intercepted. Kamari Lassiter with the pick.
Herbert's brain broke on that one. That was a dumb throw. Rolling to your right, throwing all the way back across the field to his left. What is this? Josh Allen with the Bills against the Texans back in what? 2020?
Mm-hmm.
Before the Chiefs game? Where they had the 24-7 lead? It felt like that. I mean, I don't know what Herbert was thinking on that play. Herbert, I know everyone loves him. I think he's a good quarterback. But, like, all the dorks online who worship at his altar, please remove him from your pedestal.
Yeah, I don't want to discredit the Texans too much here. But to have three interceptions on the entire season and then throw four in a playoff game, it's worse. It's way worse than Lamar's playoff stuff because Lamar has playoff wins. I mean, Herbert barely gets to the playoffs, and when he does, he loses. I mean, to have this level of performance coming off the performance in which your team had four interceptions and a sizable lead against Jacksonville the last time you were in the playoffs, it's a bad look for Justin Herbert.
For sure. And the Texans defense deserves the majority of credit because I feel like, well, there was also a dropped pass by Will Disley that got picked off too in return for a touchdown. But they made Herbert look very human. They've also done that to Josh Allen. They've also done that to Jared Goff. They've also done that to Tua Tagovailoa. They've done that to several quarterbacks this year. So more credit to the Texans. I just want everyone to chill when it comes to Justin Herbert praise. Last week, the Texans got a lot of motivational fuel. It all started, in case you missed this, with Rex Ryan making a passing comment coming back from a commercial break about the Texans being a bye week for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye, that they qualified for a bye, but they did because they're playing Houston.
In the moment, I agreed with him.
I was wrong. The Texans played. Look, the Ravens game was a disaster.
It was the worst game I've seen them play in a very long time.
And there was nothing that this offense had done basically this entire season to give you confidence that this was going to be any better. The fact that they went weeks and weeks and weeks without scoring a touchdown in the second half, it's been a pitiful performance from the offense most of the year. Part of it was the hype that we had on the Texans, that they didn't live up close to being it in the regular season, even though they've got some good wins. They lost the game versus the Lions. They lost the game versus Jordan Love and the Packers. They lost to a lot of the good teams they've played. There was not a lot of reason to believe. And then their last defensive performance was a disaster, in which, yes, they scored the only points of that game, but they got killed.
They were bad
by
in every
Lamar
single,
and the Ravens.
They were bad in every single facet of the game.
But we were wrong, as was Rex Ryan. They were awesome this weekend. And I did not think that this Houston Texans team had that in them at this point again. I thought this season was a lost cause. And for at least one playoff game, they proved me wrong.
Here is more Rex Ryan. This is on Saturday on ESPN before Texans and Chargers. Rex doubled down on the Chargers got a bye week.
I heard somebody say it was a bye week that the Chargers are going to win. You know who that was? That was me. I'm doubling down. Come on, Chargers.
Houston, we have a problem. Rex Ryan's record as a head coach and an assistant in the wild card round. Anybody want to guess?
Probably pretty darn
I hope
good,
it
Green.
Stinks.
5-3. I even
won. Oh, 5-1. I won 5-3.
And the wild
we
card round.
Be telling
so
it
this man.
Yeah. Houston, you're in trouble.
Can the two Jets make out? Can Mike Greenberg and Rex Ryan just get it over with and make out already? I mean, Mike Greenberg's praising Rex Ryan. Again, Mike Greenberg, bless his heart, he's never actually seen good football, being the dorky little Jets fan that he is. What is he, 60? My God, dude, you're an adult. You have choices. You have options. Move on. It's not cute anymore. It's kind of just sad. Sad the same way watching an alcoholic wither away is sad. And that's what you are, essentially. And meanwhile, you got Rex Ryan here, who is doing his best to, I guess, get hired to be a what?
Head coach?
Why would you hire someone to be a head coach if he's saying, like, oh, yeah, this is the bye week. I'm going to overlook this team. I don't know what he's been doing. He has seemed very desperate. Very desperate. I think on the same show, he was saying, yeah, I hope I get the chance to kick Mike Vrabel's ass 2 times a year. I hope I get that chance. Like, relax, Rex. But also relax, Mike Greenberg. Houston, we have a problem. kill yourself. And on top of that,
please,
you've got the Houston. Yeah, you've got a problem. Oh, God. Oh. I hated that last part by Rex and the other part by Greenberg. So Rex apologized on Sunday. Here he is on ESPN leading up to the Sunday slate of three games.
Day, Teddy, you picked the Texans to win this game.
I did, yes.
Yeah, I think I did too, didn't I? It was, I mean, who had a worse day, me or Justin Herbert? It's probably right there, but I got to tell, I mean, you got to tip your hat to them, because that team played their absolute asses off. Look, if you guys were going to play like that, I would have taken you to win the Super Bowl. But I'm seeing the games going up into it, 1-5 against playoff teams. I'm seeing all that, and I'm sorry, Houston.
Oh, we got one!
But if you think I'm going to, I'm not picking you next week either.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, maybe I will.
So he did apologize. He hinted that he theoretically could pick the Houston Texans on Saturday. I doubt that'll actually happen, but I'll give him credit. He was playful with it.
Yeah, you have to have fun with it when you have that level of a take. You call him a bye week. You have to eat crow.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, it never happened.
Right.
You have to eat it.
Use those big chompers to eat some crow.
They are very big chompers.
They are.
And clearly the Texans noticed. They noticed. First off, and sorry to throw this at you last second, Sean. I know I threw a ton of audio in here. But you had a couple of guys in this game. Oh, wait, I guess I do not have this on the cut sheet. We'll get to it later on in the show. But both Joe Mixon and on top of that, Danielle Hunter, Eric Murray, Titus Howard. Everyone was aware of what Rex Ryan had said. Every single person was aware. And you can understand why.
Of course they're aware. When D'Amico and CJ tried to tell us last week they didn't care, we all, you know, they hear it. And like it's not the motivator that helps you play to this level at all, but you're aware of what people are saying about you. And as much as we kind of clown these shows too, and not that I heard the Rex Ryan apology live, and I won't see if he picks the Texans next week. I'll wait for the Texans aggregators to post it on Twitter for us. But they hear it. They know it. ESPN's on in the building. Like they're totally aware of what's being said about this franchise. They hear local radio. They pretend like they don't, but there's guys on that team that listen and see clips, and they know what's being said about them. And if they don't, they've got their buddies in the media who tell them what's being said about them. And they were right, and we were wrong. I just didn't think the defense could play to this level, because I think this is even better than they've played all year, the way that they just dominated. And you've said it a couple times now, but D'Amico deserves so much credit for the game plan and everything. He outcoached Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah,
he outcoached Greg Roman.
Yep,
by a pretty wide margin.
And I mean, hell, Jim Harbaugh even gave him credit for that.
Yeah,
he said that. Yeah, I got outcoached in this game. For those who did not listen to us last week, saving the best for last, and everyone talks about Rex Ryan motivating the Houston Texans. Well, what about me? What about the star of Houston sports radio? For those who don't remember last week, this is me calling the Houston Texans multiple times over a couple-minute stretch, dead men walking. I feel like just about every person who follows this team believes they are dead men walking against a Chargers team that puts the CH in choke. I am looking at this team like men who are doomed for a future execution. And I think it's fair to look at it that way, but I want people to get me out of this mindset. I mean, I'm still dealing with the anger and rage of having watched this team in person on Christmas. I want someone to shake me out of this, because they are dead men walking. I wanted somebody to convince me that they weren't. No one successfully did. Is it on you? Should I actually apologize for this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I should.
We're not going to get an apology?
I don't. You apologize.
I apologize.
You've said we multiple times. Honestly, the fact that you've said we multiple times, I'm just allowing that.
New apology. I apologize.
Yeah, you can apologize. I'm not apologizing.
I apologize for saying we in the apology.
I'm the greatest motivator in this league.
I apologize. Joe, I don't want to speak for Sean now either. I don't want to offend two people on the show.
Yeah.
But I apologize.
I don't apologize.
I was wrong.
I'm not apologizing for bleep. I mean, you know what? I am what's motivating them. Now, they didn't credit me, which, you know, hurts my feelings a little bit.
Yeah, but they high-fived me walking in.
I said that too.
Right, right. You know? So.
I like that Rex Ryan swallowed his ego to apologize, but Paul hasn't.
No, I'm not going to. What's there to apologize for? Like, they were dead men walking going into that game, and I wanted somebody to convince me they weren't. And guess what? The Texans convinced me they weren't in that game, thanks to me. You're welcome. You're welcome. No apologies. No apologies here. You're welcome. I'm taking a bow.
When did they officially convince you? What was the tipping point?
They officially convinced me when D'Angelo Ross returned that extra point for two. Because I thought to myself, there's a chance.
Yeah,
there's
a chance. Touch and go.
I think everyone kind of thought, like, you could felt like the stadium kind of puckered a little bit.
Is the way
I put it.
I was puckering up a little bit. Yeah.
Luckily, the Chargers apparently don't know that you can return a missed extra point.
I honestly think Cameron Dicker did the right thing. The problem is he did not have any help around him. He was trying to avoid getting hit. As a kicker, you're not supposed to get hit.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get hit.
The volleyball spike, though, and it goes straight to a...
It went straight to a... Right.
I mean, some of it's bad luck. Some of it is, like, I don't know, dude. Just go up there and...
Just go up and catch
it. Get it and then turtle.
Yeah. I'm a little biased because, like, I've gotten drunk with Cameron Dicker before, so I really like him. He's a good dude. But...
I wasn't sure he was getting off the ground.
That was vicious. That was absolutely vicious. That poor man. But that was where I knew it was official. And look, you're welcome. You're welcome. You are welcome. I motivated them.
I feel like we're like borderline. I'm waiting for Paul to start breaking out in song for Moana right now. The What Can I Say? You're Welcome song. You've never seen Moana before?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Why would he have seen Moana?
I don't know. It's on everywhere.
For people with kids.
I guess I forgot Paul has no kids.
What's Moana?
It's a Disney movie.
Oh, it's a Disney movie.
With The Rock.
With The Rock?
Yeah.
Wait, I've never... Is it like a spinoff of Fast and Furious?
No.
I actually am aware of the movie. I've just never seen it.
I figured, like, your nieces and nephews, who's probably, hopefully they talk to you by now for missing Christmas. Hopefully now they understand.
Yeah, now they're like, this team's actually pretty good.
Yeah, like, hopefully now after this win on Saturday, still doesn't happen. Hopefully they get it.
Still doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my 3-year-old and 6-month-old, they gave me long soliloquies about how disappointed they were in me. And, they've yet to talk to me since then. So, listen, eventually, I'll motivate them to talk to me, just like I motivated the Houston Texans to win on Saturday.
Another week to motivate them again.
I think we got to look at it from this perspective. The idea that the Texans needed this to beat the Chargers is absolutely effing crazy. They did not. They should have been motivated by their own poor play. Did it help? Sure. Little bulletin board material? Sure. It's Rex Ryan, though, who's doubting you. Like, oh, Rex Ryan's the reason that they beat the Chargers? Like, stop. Stop. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And look, he apologized. I will say this. They deserve a lot of credit for what they did. I doubted them. They proved me wrong. But I'm not apologizing. See, that's the difference. That's the Paul Gallant piece of filth difference.
The workaround?
That's how you be a lazy scumbag journalist and still keep people listening. Because they always want to know what you're going to say next.
Will he apologize tomorrow?
No.
Probably not.
If they beat the Chiefs, I will apologize.
Well, I don't think any of us are going to pick them to beat the Chiefs. It's just a guess. I did pick them to
Friday's a long time ago.
I did pick them in the pick six. I am the only person on the show that picked them.
Good job.
So I don't know why I apologized, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I did. I just, you know, trashed them for a week.
Yeah.
Until
before, until and I think your reasoning was Friday. It makes no sense. I'm going to pick them.
That's why when the public is always on a team like that, and it will be the same this weekend, the Chiefs will be the most bet team ticket-wise and money-wise to win this weekend. I can almost guarantee it.
I would agree with you there. A couple of texts. Eric the driver says, the foot effer already walked back his bye week statement. Are y'all going to do the same? Well, they were dead men walking. Guess what? They got a pardon. Joe Biden stepped in. They're good to go. We need an apology from Paul, like we got from Rex. No, I'm just going to pass. I'm going to pass on that.
Apology.
I got it. Yes, all of y'all were wrong. No, Joe was right.
I was right.
Joe was actually right.
I picked him.
And he just remembered in the middle of this.
Yep, I just remembered that I did pick him.
You're so shocked that you picked
I know. I was like, I forgot I did.
Sounds like you might not have actually believed that.
Hey, you know what? The record sheet says W.
Yeah.
It's highlighted green.
Did you see what John McClain said?
No.
Those of us who picked the Chargers, I predicted LA 27-20, will have a lot of egg on our faces. It'll take me two towels to get it off. That's disgusting, John. That was very graphic in nature. I don't want to think about you wiping two towels worth of eggs off of your face.
He actually does.
Can you pass me that towel? I got too much egg on me.
It's everywhere.
There's no bread for me to sop it up. I like a sourdough bread toast to mop up that yolk.
Some of it's in my eye. It stings. No, I just have this terrible vision of John McClain with eggs on his face. Like, now we need to apologize for that to the audience for telling them.
I'll apologize for that vision. Yeah. I will apologize for that.
Cracking a yolk on him.
Yeah.
I'll apologize for that. That's a lot. By the way, did you see the Chargers practicing in before the game in masks?
They were?
They were practicing in masks.
Oh, that's why they lost.
Some kind of pandemic masks energy. They were wearing surgical masks.
Well, I mean, you know, it's LA was on fire.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. You're outside. Like, if you're running around, you want to wear a mask while you're breathing in the smoke?
No, they probably just got to Houston.
I would have thought,
yeah. What they should have done is just, and I don't think it would have made a difference, like on the field. But yeah, you ask Rice to let you use their field a week early.
Yeah, Rice.
U of H.
Or the Cougs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these high schools. Like, there's so many places you could practice.
Yeah, what? We can't set them up to, what's the big one? Sci-Fair?
They could have practiced in Dallas. The Cowboys got nothing going on. I'm just tripping up.
That's true.
Star.
Well, they do have something going on. Mike McCarthy, he's gone.
Yeah, that's clean.
There's extra room because he's cleaning out his office.
Leave it to the Dallas Cowboys to wait until the Monday after a weekend they didn't play in to try and steal the headlines. Like, I gotta say, they find a way to stay in the headlines despite being dead every single year. And Jerry Jones masterclass. Knew everyone was going to talk about how the Houston Texans have more playoff victories since inception, 6 than the Cowboys have over that same period. 4, Jerry Jones redirects. Mike McCarthy, he's gone. Now, I don't know, maybe do that on Saturday when Mike Vrabel is potentially on the table for you to hire,
because
you actually have a better situation than the Patriots to hire into. I don't know. Just a thought, but Cowboys, they know how to stay on page one.
Yeah, they honestly, I thought there was a chance this was going to happen yesterday, like during the games.
Like what it felt like was Jay Glazer was going to report it before the, like on the pregame show before the.
Except we got Vrabel on the day of the game. So he was hired by the Patriots.
That's why they waited.
Yeah.
I mean, I think last week at some point when we did the Cowboys segment, like we did say that they are dragging this on to be on First Take for 3 straight days. I didn't think they were. They're crazy enough to actually do it the Monday after Super Wild Card Weekend. But luckily for them, the game stunk. So other than the last one, all the games are over pretty fast.
They turned Monday into Super Black Monday because they got rid of Mike McCarthy.
Mm.
And Joe, good job by you. You know, your Bears, they finally can get their guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you should be thanking me.
Yeah.
It's the Bears that got Mike Vrabel and the Patriots to move up their timeline.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're welcome.
How'd you feel watching Jaden Daniels last night?
I feel fine. Yeah. I don't have Jaden Daniels envy. I have Washington Commanders envy.
Mm.
Because they're a terrible organization who got a new owner and the owner fixed everything. Like, the new owner fixed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shows, like, if you sell the team, like, things can be better. So I have Washington envy.
They have an OCD kicker, and when he doinks, it goes in for a winner.
Yeah.
I was mean to Joe last night. Last night, dude. I was like, hey, how does it feel watching, you know, the better quarterback that you could have taken second, but you took, you know, Caleb Williams, it's fine.
I mean, we had like, and barely
your kicker
talked.
Went on a doink.
I mean, like, we barely talked all weekend.
Yep.
You didn't come down to 118 to get a margarita with me.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
And then
it was a business trip.
I mean, the first text I get is just, how does this feel? I'm like, what a jerk.
Listen, we gotta get testy.
Sent the middle finger emoji. That's
you
all
did
I
send
sent.
The middle finger emoji.
That's
yeah.
all I sent.
Here's the problem. I arrived at NRG Stadium too late, and my credential hasn't been working the last couple of times I was there. So my credential didn't work. They basically said, "Yeah, go up to the press box." And I was like, "Okay, damn. Well, that sucks." Man,
maybe they just weren't gonna let you in because all the trash you talked last.
Honestly, I thought yeah. For a second I thought they weren't. Like, you know, some of the Texans PR people were walking by. Don't let him in. They were being sarcastic about it. But no, I got up to the elevator. They said, "Oh, you can't come in," and then. They looked at my credential because my credential's been having issues for like basically the last three games. And they told me, hey, wait off to the side for a second. So I wait off to the side for a second. Then I go back over. And then an entirely new Texan security person says, no, your credential didn't work. You have to stay here. And I was like, wait a second. I just got this straightened out. So I had to stand back out there again and go through the exact same process that I had already been through for 5 minutes again.
I thought they were going – aren't the Texans one of the teams that's incorporating, like, the face recognition?
Right, yeah. The face recognition worked, but the problem is my credential, for whatever reason, didn't work. Yeah, it was a weird hiccup, not a big issue, but it was kind of funny because I thought it was like, wait a second, are they not going to let me up here? This is pretty funny.
I mean,
of honor.
It wouldn't be the first time you had an issue getting into a game, so.
You know, yeah, usually it's the Astros. But,
yeah.
Listen, Texans, top-notch organization.
And that's why they won.
Yep, and the Astros lost to the Tigers because I did not get to park at the parking lot, and that person called me a bleephead. And you know what? Sometimes karma comes around and hits you hard. Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. I'm not apologizing. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Joe's on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Sean Mapes behind the glass on Twitter. At Sean A. Mapes. I'm on Twitter as well. At Gallant Says, those are all the ways that you can get in touch with us. So, you want to talk about the defense and whether or not they can do that again against Kansas City on Saturday. Do it. You want to talk about C.J. Stroud getting his mojo back after that crazy throw to Xavier Hutchinson, and you think he can keep that going, or you think that was just a one-time thing. The Chiefs' defense is too good. You want to chime in on that? Do it. My question for you right now, are you still holding out and not jumping back on the Houston Texans bandwagon? Or are you all bricked up, deep steel blue-pilled, ready to go into Kansas City to storm Arrowhead and turn it into Stroudhead Stadium? We'll discuss. Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.